welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Gear Agent, back for episode number 2 of season 2. Today on the show, we've got Leoria, aka Leoria of Light on Twitch. This was a really fun episode to record. Right away, we're getting into people that I haven't had a ton of conversation with beforehand. I've known Leoria as a part of the community. We've raced a couple times. I've hung out in her chat a little bit. She wasn't a complete stranger, but getting to hear her story and how she got into Rando and her story with the mentor tournament stuff, it's really fun. It was a really fun conversation, and I'm really excited about this season of the podcast where I get a chance to talk to people that I know as members of the community, but I don't really know their story. So we're kicking things off with Leoria of Light today. So I'm not going to take too much of your time in this intro. So that we can get to that interview. Do you want to remind everyone about the 216 Weekly that is starting this Saturday? The 216 Weekly is going to be a weekly race that anyone can join. We will ping for it in the 216 Discord as well as the main Discord. We'll be doing rotating modes. This week, we're going to be playing Fad Keys, which is an all dungeons key sanity variation. Just like regular 80 keys, except the Agate Tower or Castle Tower keys are vanilla. So you can do that anytime. You don't have to search for them. I'll be doing a restream on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/fearagent_. And do want to remind people of the open door policy that we have. If you see that the booth is empty and you want to jump in for some comms, just join the green room. There's also a green room role that you could grab, get you access to the channel and join me for some commentary. So we're starting that this week. Again, Fad Keys, noon Eastern. Not much has gone on since Monday's episode, so no real ALTTPR topics to really go over, but the NFL is starting, and I know that I'm not the only NFL fan here in the community, and I know we have a lot of people that aren't in the States that might have no interest in the NFL, so I'm not going to waste too much time on it, but I am thinking about maybe doing a 216 NFL Fantasy League if we have enough people that are interested. So if you're interested in the idea of a 216 NFL Fantasy League, let me know in the Discord. And if we get enough interest, maybe we could put something together, have a little bit of fun with that. Being a Seahawks fan, it's going to be a long season. And if I can find any way to alleviate some of the pain by doing some fantasy with the community, I think we could have a good time. I do want to talk a little bit about Tilt. It's the question that I ask every guest on how they handle Tilt and how they deal with it. What are ways of getting around it? And I've been thinking a lot about Tilt because I've been losing a lot. I'm trying to make a run on the ladder invitational, the cross keys, inverted keys, retrants. So I'm trying to get as many qualifiers in as I can since my record has been so bad. I've been losing a lot, currently 2 games under 500. So I have a long ways to go to get to the top 16. I believe I can make it, but we'll see. I've got a long road to hoe. But it had me thinking about Tilt and what does Tilt mean and what does it mean in the game and how I'm dealing with it. And I think originally when I asked the Tilt question, I was thinking about how do I not be upset about losing, which I think is the wrong mindset for that question, because I think it's okay to be upset that you lost. I think it's okay to be upset that things didn't go your way, not necessarily upset at your opponent, but just upset that you lost. And I think that I was trying to find a way to not be upset. And I found that if I let myself be upset, if I get angry for losing and I don't take it any further than that, I'm then able to let it be what it is, process it, and then move on and just kind of enjoy the game for what it is. And so hopefully that's a piece of advice that I can give from my perspective, that it's okay to be upset. That's not Tilt. Tilt is, I think, when it takes you out of the game or it takes you out of rational decision-making or rational emotions. You know, anger is an emotion that we all feel, and it's an emotion that's not necessarily the most fun to feel, but it is an emotion, and it's okay to feel it. And so not in allowing your anger to tilt you, I think, is now the key aspect to the question that I'll be asking the guests moving forward is, how do you handle it so that it doesn't become more than it should be? You know, I get angry at, finding something last location. And does that tilt me? Does it ruin how I play the rest of the game? Does it affect my gameplay. That stuff is stuff that I could definitely work on, but I was definitely approaching the idea of Tilt from the wrong perspective. What I was looking for is, how do you not get angry at losing? And that's just not realistic, and it's not healthy. Be angry, feel it, and find ways to release it that is healthy, and then move on. And that's kind of what I've done. I lost 3 in a row, I think, or 6 in a row. I can't remember. I was 3 games under 500 on the ladder in this invitational ladder subset. And man, that last one, the third one under 500, I was really angry. Not again, not at my opponent, just angry at my play, angry that I lost, angry at my sort of unluckiness in some of these situations. And I was able to just like be angry and let it stew for a minute. And then I went and watched The NeverEnding Story with my kids, and we had a blast, and it didn't affect me further than the few minutes that were after the race. So I don't know if anybody needs to hear that or if they're struggling with that similarly to how I have been, but it's all right. It's okay. All right. So let's get to the interview with Leoria. Super fun conversation. She's a blast. She has this infectious laugh to her and this way of just her personality, her person is just so, you feel good hanging around her. So I understand why she's got a lot of friends in the community that want to be around her, because there's so much positivity and like lightheartedness and fun that comes with being who she is. And I'm excited for everyone to hear the interview. So enough of me. Let's get to that. All right. I'm super excited to have you on the show today because you have been a part of the community for quite some time, and you've developed or have been a part of like the 40 Bunks crew that was a big group that came out of the mentor tournament that I know of, and I've had lots of interactions from. You know, we've done some races and stuff, but you guys really like clung together, and I'm excited to get to know you more. I think that's the big thing is having you on the show, is I'm excited to get to know you and some of the other 40 Bunks crew members more. So thanks for doing the show.
Yeah, again, thank you for having me. The whole 40 Bunks thing, it really was like that kind of like 2020 mentor group, mm-hmm. or mentee group, I guess. You know, at the time, CJ was streaming constantly and was hosting all kinds of mentee races.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was the year of COVID also. So we mm-hmm. were all like cooped up at home and whatnot. Right. And it really created this awesome series of bonds, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love the fact that this game brings people together and like creates like real friendships. Like I can safely say, right, you and the 40 Bunks crew are close, right? Like you guys are actual like, friends. Not just like we play the games together. You have become like friends, and you know, I've developed my friend group, and we all kind of develop people that we're close to. But I love that this old ass game can bring people together like that.
Oh, 100%. I know that there's been like multiple times where we've like jokingly during COVID, but also non-jokingly, been like, we need to do some kind of like meetup, mm-hmm. something.
Yeah.
And I know the biggest problem is we're all freaking everywhere, dude. Like
right. The joys like, of the internet is that brings us all together. Yeah, the pains of the of internet course. Is we're all over the place. Yeah.
Well, and I think part of it too, like I still am like teetering between like, do I try to go to SGL this year myself, mm-hmm. like, and see if we can get a group together and mm-hmm. go? Because I do think it would be so fun to just meet like everybody, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Everybody that I possibly could.
For sure. I didn't get to go to the first SGL that happened in person, but right. the stories that I heard were awesome. Like everyone just kind of hanging out together and getting a chance to really meet all the people that were racing. And that's kind of why I do the podcast as well. Like we're not actually meeting in person, but getting a chance to like chat with someone, right? Like more than what's involved in a race or chatting on Discord, because it's not quite the same.
Well, and the cool thing too is like, you know, SGL, it's not just, you know, Z3R. Like it's going to be a ton of different things.
Yep.
But we almost end up, I guess to use like a college-y reference, like almost like our own like fraternity kind of deal.
Yeah, totally.
And it's kind of cool to see that like those friendships that are so involved, I guess, over, like you said, like a 30-year-old video game.
Totally. We're all pledges and we've all done our hazing, right? Like we've all played the game and it's totally, totally hazed us. It's like totally exactly what it's like when you join a fraternity. Let's go back to 2020 when you found when you joined the mentor tournament and, you know, you found your kind of group. How did you get involved or how did you find out about the mentor tournament? Where did your introduction to ALTTPR begin?
So funny enough, 2020 was actually not my first dip into rando. I want to say, I want to say, did main tournament 2018 have Sanity with it? I honestly don't remember.
Something it's like such that. A blur, but there was two. I think the main tournament used to run twice a year. So there was a spring and a fall.
Right.
And then I think there was just one tournament in 2019, and then there was no tournament in 2020. But
okay,
that could be wrong. So
it would have been like spring 2018, I feel like, was like my first dip in.
Okay.
And I want to say I had been watching ZFG, funny enough, run Ocarina of Time. Okay. And I want to say he raided like a speed gaming channel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing, I think they were restreaming a main tournament race or something like that. Maybe spring tournament race.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Bob Tastic was on commentary. And I remember being like, yo, this dude knows what he's talking about. And this is wild. Like, I love Zelda. I've never played A Link to the Past in my life, but like, let's get on this.
We're gonna have to get into that later for sure.
Yeah, that's a check terrible mark, thing to
go back to by. That. Yeah, no, that's great. I love it.
But then right around that time, that is when I had kind of some big life changes happening. I ended up moving from Houston, Texas to kind of north central-ish Kentucky. And so I had to kind of stop for a while and I didn't play for a long time. Finally, I kind of refound Dr. Bob through, you know, just browsing Twitch one day and seeing that he was live. And I think I brought up like, man, I just need some kind of like noob tournament, like something to just like teach me how to play this game and get good at this game, because I do want to. And he was like, you do know that there's a mentor tournament, right? No, I don't. Link, please. And so that kind of was the end of that. I basically told him, like, I don't know if you really have a choice in this, but I'm going to be like, you're going to be my mentor. Okay. Thanks.
Nice. And did he mentor you that tournament?
Yeah. It's like, he was my mentor for all 6 weeks. Of group stages. And then in 2020, we still had mentors for the first couple races of brackets, I want to say. And Bob is a great dude. Like, literally all of like what I've learned, like routing wise and how to think about the game, has come from him. Mm-hmm. The one thing that I will say that I do regret is not looking to other mentors as well.
Sure. Getting other opinions, because everyone plays it a little bit different way. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, I know that if I go and watch Bob play now, like, I'm not going to have the exact same routing style that he does anymore, because over time your style becomes your own.
Totally.
And so I really do. I am so incredibly grateful for him, because it's why I'm here now.
Yeah.
But I do wish I had reached out to other people and gone a little bit outside of my comfort zone to sure. be like, yo, hey, how do you play the game?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And, hindsight's 2020, right? Like,
right.
At that time, you know, Bob introduces you to the game and he's gracious enough to mentor you through the whole thing. So you're just going to like tunnel vision, like, oh, he's good. Let me learn from him and yeah. get all that I can. So let's take it back even just a little bit further. Are you watching mm-hmm. Twitch? Are you playing games? Like before you even start with Rando, you said you were watching, you said ZFG?
Yeah, ZFG running Ocarina Time. Just normal speed runs and watching him trying to cut times where he could there.
Mm-hmm. Were you watching how did you get into Twitch or watching speed runs? Were you doing any other speed runs in other games or?
No. I was not any kind of like speed runner at the time. Mm-hmm. I honestly thinking about it, I don't know if I remember what got me into watching him, truthfully. I think it was just like Ocarina Time was my favorite Zelda growing up.
Mm.
And I think that because of that, there was that special place because of the nostalgia.
Sure.
And so I was like, oh, this guy is, you know, the world record holder for beating it the fastest. Like, let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
As far as me streaming at the time, no.
Yeah.
I think like every now and again, I would try to do something, but not really.
Was it like, Ocarina of Time related? Did you want to try to get into playing or streaming or I don't even know where Ocarina of Time Rando was at this time. I don't know how long ago it goes back.
I don't know where it was Rando wise. I know it wasn't something that I had seen yet. I found mm-hmm. A Link to the Past Rando first.
Okay.
Before Zooter, but I want to say no, like as far as what I would stream, I tried to do at one point a like Zelda timeline like stream where I was trying to play okay. through every Zelda game in quote chronological order.
Right.
Based on the Zelda timeline. Thanks.
Oh, not Nintendo. On release date. So you started like Skyward Sword.
No, like I was starting with Skyward Sword and then going to like Minish Cap. And that was something that ended very quickly. No.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. I wish I could remember exactly what like got me watching ZFG originally, but I really think the simple answer is just Ocarina of Time.
And sure.
That.
He's really good at it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bit on the crazy side at it. Yeah.
So you said you didn't play Link to the Past. Let's get into that. What was your gaming history as a kid?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so I grew up in a very, like, the opposite of affluent, but not quite poor, I guess. Like, my mom mm-hmm. Was a single mom, and there was me and my two younger sisters for a long time. So as far as like gaming went, I didn't have any real chance to game other than like going down the street to my best friend's house. Sure. And even then, we would play co-op games together. Like we would play Donkey Kong Country and Mortal right. Kombat, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when I turned 10, I want to say, or like fourth grade, we got an N64 for Christmas.
Nice.
And I flipped. Like, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And it took me forever to actually beat Ocarina of Time.
Sure.
Because of two things. One, I can't stand, even to this day, freaking Redeads. Like, they give me such heebie-jeebies.
That's hilarious.
Two, the Sculptulas, or Walchulas, the like big spider things.
Right.
I don't do spiders. Just
okay.
Period. End.
Like, so you're actually scared of Ocarina of Time. Like you love it, but you're also scared of it at the same time.
100%, dude. I
That's hilarious.
I get like a visceral reaction, even still, like I'm 31 years old, right? I get a visceral reaction going into the bottom of the well, even playing it now.
That's hilarious. Because
I know.
That's so good. So did it continue on then with the 64? Did you keep with Nintendo or did you kind of branch out as you got older? Or what was your game history?
So I kept with Nintendo, like on my mom's side. My parents had split when I was super young, but when I would go to visit my dad, my now older stepbrother, he had a PlayStation. And so like I got very into the Final Fantasy series along with that because he had a console that I didn't have.
Sure.
And he would play all the Zeldas as well. And I would just sit and happily watch. And like, I remember when Wind Waker came out on GameCube, one summer we sat through and we played it together and we got to Puppet Ganon at the end. And he could not like get the arrow shots to snipe the the like tail of like the worm version.
Right.
So he passed over the GameCube controller to me and I'm like, all right, sure. We got this. And I nailed it like 3 for 3 right after that. And I was thrilled.
Oh, I bet. So it sounds like your love of gaming kind of came as a co-op sort of thing, right? Like you said you're playing with your friends and then you get to play with your stepbrother and things like that. So it feels like it was sort of ingrained in you to play with others.
Yes, absolutely. Like it's weird to play, I guess, like with Z3R, like you do end up playing mostly by yourself, but with a community of people and like in races.
Right.
So you're not necessarily playing with somebody in the traditional sense, but there's still that companionship, I guess is the best way I can word it right now.
Yeah. I mean, sitting down with your older brother to play, to like watch him play and then have him hand you over the controller just sounds like it sounds like a moment, right? Like obviously you still remember it. That's just so cool that that you had that relationship to for him to do that even. Because I was like with my little brother, I was like, get the heck out of here, man. I don't want you to play with me.
Well, and I think too, you know, we're only a year apart. So he's only 1 year older than me. And so because we were so close in age, like there were times where I absolutely hated his guts, as you know, siblings do.
Totally.
But I think that was something that very early on when, you know, his mom and my dad met, like that was something we had already connected over. Like we both did like video games. And so that was our thing.
Were you, did you get into any sort of competitive video games pre ALTTPR? Were you doing anything that was like,
well, not like, I guess not, you know, in the like get into tournament sort of sense, but I did play League of Legends for a really long time.
Okay.
I can't play it anymore.
Gosh, I've never played League of Legends, but I keep hearing this exact same story from everyone who's like, oh, I really played League of Legends a lot and I can't play it anymore. So why can't you play it anymore? Tell me your reasons.
I loathe a toxic community. I hate it. And I think that's one of the things that I love about Rando is because, you know, yes, there's toxicity in every community at some level, right? Yeah. But I feel like overall we have such a community that is out to help and better one another.
Yeah.
And the League of Legends community is so the opposite of that. It's so very like, you know, oh, I died, you know, in my lane because, you know, you were too busy farming minions or trying to take a tower or whatever. And it's never like people owning up to their own mistakes, but also not like being able to say like, oh, hey, you made a mistake. All right, that's fine. Let's just move on because it's a game.
It sounds awful. It sounds awful.
It's so bad. I used to really enjoy the game. It used to be really, really fun. You know, it got me through a lot of like crazy times in college, truthfully. Mm-hmm. But to see where the community has gone now, like, not, you know, I probably shouldn't like totally rag on it, but at the same time, you know, when you are exposed to communities that are still competitive, but in a very positive mindset, mm-hmm. or a growth mindset,
mm-hmm.
it's really, you know, I guess hard to want to remain within.
Sure. Yeah, totally. I totally get that. All right. So you find Rando, and you said you start playing. Like, did you dive in immediately to races, or did you practice by yourself? Like, how did that go?
Oh, man. So I want to say I did a couple seeds by myself. I'm thinking back, like, super far, like 2018 back.
Mm-hmm,
I want to say I did a couple seeds by myself, and then there were like Plando, like random Plando seeds that people would okay. put out there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one. I don't know why this stuck with me so bad, but it was back when like Plandos were like not like our current Plando tournament deal where it's, you know, each runner picks a spot for an item or whatever, but the entire seed is crafted with some sort of theme in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that I played that was named after the fact. The idea behind it was you had the item that you would get, or like the item that you would find next would be in a location that was like you wish you would have had it right before that. So like, for example, okay. like boots in Spiral Cave sort of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just like, man, I really wish I had had those, you know, 2.5 seconds ago.
Right.
But I want to say there was one that I did and I got restreamed on. And again, this is super early on. Like, I don't know, like, how to do the blind script. I have put in zero effort to learn anything.
You just dove right in.
Yeah, I dove right in, and it was a key sanity seed.
So oh, wow.
I had no idea what I was doing. And I think Kern was one of the commentators on the restream, funny enough, and is asking me things. And I'm like, yeah, I've never played the vanilla game before. I've just kind of started doing this, like, you know, about a month ago. And he's like, what? Like, sorry.
That's too funny. Were you able to finish the seed?
I think I ended up finishing it later or off stream or something.
Mm.
Or I got really lost about trying to find a key. And like during the interview, they mentioned where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, got in, and then tried to finish it out. I honestly can't remember though.
Sure.
That was so long ago, it feels like.
So how long did you play until you kind of took a break from it?
I want to say, like I said, that was spring 2018. I think I stopped playing around June, because that was when we were packing everything up and getting ready to move. Mm. And I was doing all the job interview and application things. So
real life happens. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, as it does.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Imagine needing a job. What?
Yeah, totally. So you take time away, you move, and then you find, sorry, I'm kind of getting confused a little bit. Then you find Bob, or how did you find the mentor?
Again, find Bob again. Back on Twitch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just browsing through Twitch, see he's streaming, pop back in. And be like, you know, I miss playing this, but I want to do like, want to get good at it. Like, I need some kind of like noob tournament. And that's when he brought up
the mentor tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. So then you get introduced to the Go Mode podcast. You get introduced to all the people playing in that mentor tournament. And looking back at now, that mentor tournament is stacked with now would be ringers. You know, it's like, name some of the people that you're
the Scooples and Vortexes of the world. Right. And
so who was in that mentor class? It was you and Scoople, and was Kazden there, and CJ?
Kazden was there. So me, Shkoople, Vortex, so Vortex of Doom, McMonkey, Gray Corvid, Garrison, Kaysden, Windfox. I feel like I should just go to 40 Bunks and just start scrolling down the list.
it was like everyone in 40 Bunks, basically, right?
Yeah. Irritable Penguin. I want to say we also had Fred, a.k.a. Durf, who is now going as Dapper Worm Man. Dapper Worm Man. Words are hard. Phone, please. Darity. Like, there's so many.
It's the who's who of random today, right? Like, that's really what you're naming. It's like the big time names. So where in that mentor tournament, what is it during the middle of COVID, the beginning of COVID? Where is it at as far as the timeline goes?
I know, like, where I'm at. So I teach. We had schools shut down March 2020, like literally the week before spring break.
Right.
Mentor tournament started, I want to say, May of that year.
Oh, okay.
So early right in the thick shutdown.
Of it. Yeah.
But
right
yeah.
in the thick of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So there, I think that's part of the reason why there's so many, you know, as you said, ringers from that group, because there was so much more time to just
grind
play the game.
Yeah, totally.
And grind. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you do in that mentor tournament? Tell me about your experience playing. Cause I've actually never played in the mentor tournament. I haven't shamefully even mentored. Tell me your experience with the mentor tournament.
Okay. So, as I mentioned, you know, Bob was my mentor for all 6 weeks of groups. I want to say I went 4-2 in groups. And it was, that was kind of where you would be on the bubble of making the gold bracket or not. And I was terrified watching all these other races that had implications for my tiebreakers, basically trying to see, like, am I going to be in tempered sword bracket? Am I going to be in gold bracket? What's going to happen? I have no idea. Ended up getting gold bracket. I want to say seated like 14 or 15, somewhere in there. And then the very first race I was racing Fred or Dapper Worm Man, and I was rocking and rolling. I went to GT through the TR portal, and Fred ended up going through Super Bunny, and he found the silver arrows in Super Bunny along the way.
Oh, wow.
So ended up passing me because of those silver arrows. And it's still like something that every now and again, like, we'll bring up just to like kind of like tease or mess with.
Sure.
But like, yeah. And it was one and done then. There wasn't a best of three situation. So lost that race and was immediately out. And it's like, womp womp. Okay.
Was that the first mentor tournament, by the way?
Second, I think there was.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause there was the group that had, I want to say, like, Amerith, Oro, Black Wax, their kind of mentee class or class of 2019. We were the second, I want to say. So,
okay.
Gosh, that means this year's the fourth group. Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
So what are your thoughts about the mentor tournament? Cause it seems like an awesome way to, you're probably a little biased because you did make an entire, Discord friend group of people, but you know, your thoughts about the Go Mode mentor tournament.
I will say that the friendships that I have made, like, with that mentee class are the best that I could ask for in a group of, you know, strangers on the internet and virtual friendships, right?
Yeah.
I really, truly, like, I am grateful to Go Mode for that, because it's such, again, like, that community of promoting growth and not trying to make people feel bad because, you know, oh, you don't know how to cancel stair lag, you know, Gamachu. Sorry, love I had it. To throw the
I
shade.
Love it. I love it. No, that's what this, I created this entire podcast just to take down Gamachu. That was my goal.
Oh man, I'm so glad I could be part of this. But you're going to have to get me some good ice cream to really lay in the taunts.
Yeah. oh boy.
But I really do. I have people who I play Final Fantasy 14 with right now that are asking me all these questions about how to get into Rando. Mm. And I am, you know, helping them through and trying to be like, yo, like, join the mentor tournament next year too. Like, it's so worth it. Plus, I'm not the only person who plays the game, and what I choose to do isn't going to be what everybody does. Like, mm-hmm. get other ideas too.
Mm-hmm.
I've highly recommended it.
Did you then go on to mentor? Like, what was your relationship with the mentor tournament as it's gone on?
I did. So 2021, I actually ended up on Go Mode's podcast.
Nice.
Because I was mentor MVP that year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I, you know, just I took, honestly, like, I look back, I straight up did too much. And I know this. I know this now. Mm. I had the hardest time saying no if somebody yeah. asked me to mentor them. And I want to say, oh gosh, I don't remember the exact number, but 30 something different races mentored, I wow. want to say.
Wow.
It was a lot. I know at one point I mentored 3 races in one day, and I told myself never
wow.
again.
Wow.
Never again, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard when you love something and you're passionate about something.
Yes.
That you don't throw yourself. Well, I know I have the exact same problem. I do too much, and yeah. then next thing you know, I'm completely burnt out.
Well, and that was kind of my problem, is like, this year came around and I had just kind of truthfully like hit a slump within my own playing. Like, I was feeling really, really bad and negative about my own relationship with the game mm-hmm. as the mentor tournament was starting. And so I ended up DMing John Snoo, who's a mod for the tournament, and I've known him for years. Being like, yo, dude, like, I think I'm going to take a break this year from mentoring. Like, I need to get my own stuff together this year and focus on me and playing my game. And it sucks, but I do feel like I made the right decision this year mm-hmm. to do that, to take that step back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to look out for yourself, like, as much as you love doing something. If yeah. you overextend yourself, then it just becomes a job and becomes, you know, it could really stress you out. And yeah, I get it. Yeah. I totally get it.
And I think part of it too was, you know, I've had kind of like a weird school year this year, as far as like having to kind of fight for some like teaching positions within the school. Mm. And so I think part of it too was, after this year, which had been a hard year, I think part of it too was, I was also just kind of teacher burnt out mm. for the year. Like, I wanted that break from, you know, teaching people anything,
like yeah.
even a video game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So because you are a teacher, did mentoring mm-hmm. become kind of natural for you?
I think so. I mean, I honestly, I feel like that is a question that like people who I mentored would probably be able to answer sure. better. I know. Sure. I know. I felt like it came natural. I felt mm-hmm. like there were absolutely things that I felt comfortable talking about and teaching about without any concern. And I didn't have a problem with being like, hey, you know, this is something you can do better, you know, being constructive with feedback and things like that.
Yeah.
Which I feel like some people get dodgy about that sometimes, like they're afraid sure. of upsetting somebody.
Totally. It's hard. I mean, criticism is tough. Like, learning yeah. how to take, you know, critiques and, yes. Not take them personal is really tough. I've done art my whole life, and when someone tells you like, you know, everything that you've just drawn right. is wrong. It's like, no, they're not attacking you personally, but it's hard not to take that personally.
Yeah, it's right? hard not to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you actually got it. You're a music teacher, right? I'm not putting you too much on the spot.
Yes. No, you're fine. I, like I said, open book.
So you, you actually got into the MSU creating business a little bit.
Oh boy. I had a feeling this was going to come up. Yeah,
totally. So I did the 8-bit MSU, 8-bit rock MSU that people have yes. enjoyed. And, I remember getting a message from you asking about that. And you went
yes.
and took it. I just took the 8-bit universe music, so I didn't create anything. You, on the other yeah. hand, took it a step further and created your own MSU. Can you tell us a little bit about that MSU and the and it, what the process of making it? And
oh, yeah. Okay, so 8-bit Disney, because I am a child. Not really, just teach them.
Sure.
But I really wanted to have something like kind of nostalgic like that. And I think this mm-hmm. is before the mostly cartoons, you know, was a thing at all. But I also know how
way before that, the mostly cartoons yeah. MSU that that Moodle just put out is like just came out the last couple of months. So
that's a fair point. Okay. I haven't even like,
yeah, you, this was a long time ago when you created this 8-bit Disney MSU.
Oh, you're right, because it would have been not this past January, but the January before. And I had time because we were virtual for school at that point.
Right.
And so I had extra time and wanted to do something music related. But I know how Disney can be with, you know, copyrights and whatnot, because, of course, Disney.
Right.
And I just had this idea of, man, it'd be really funny if like you walked into Ice Palace and it was playing Let It Go. Like, that'd be just sure. so funny.
Yeah.
And then it just became this planning process. Like, okay, wait, if we do this, then how would we want to organize these? So I think I was talking with a few different people and just kind of bouncing ideas off of them. Different 40 bonkers, and basically saying like, okay, so Turtle Rock is now Pride Rock, and it's going to be Lion King music.
Right.
And I wanted to try and put, you know, villain songs from the movies, or as close as I could get to villain songs, as the bosses. So like, for example, Turtle Rock is, you know, I Just Can't Wait to Be King from The Lion King is the main dungeon. And then Trinex is Be Prepared.
Nice.
But actually making it, so I have a composition program called MuseScore, which at the time was completely free. I don't know if it still is, but I have it and it's free, so I use it.
Sure.
And basically I took the different, like the sheet music for the different songs, and I arranged it to be a like a synthesizer type of sound, and then tried to balance it out where, you know, you have your melody, and I wanted to create like natural loop points in it, so it would be easy to, you know, automatically set those. So did all that. And then kind of the rest of the MSU making process, where you are, you know, editing those trim and loop points, and lots of time in Audacity trying to find the exact like wave crosses and everything. But really, yeah, it was just, I felt like Disney was something that there would probably be a decent number of people who wanted some sort of Disney MSU. But I also really loved the 8-bit style, like that 8-bit rock and 8-bit universe did. So hence 8-bit Disney was born.
It's amazing. Because yeah. again, it's not just someone else. You didn't just grab music from a video game or someone else's source. You made it all yourself. That is, that just blows my mind. It's so cool. And it turned out so good. It's a really well done and a really awesome MSU. Like it. it's good. You did an awesome job with it, and the cleverness of it, of, you know, finding the right spots for the right the right songs and be able to grab from that, all the Disney stuff, not just you know, like the main cartoons.
That honestly, I feel like took the longest time. Mm-hmm. Was like some of them were really obvious. Like, yeah, you know, you're going to put the Little Mermaid in Swamp. You're going to put Frozen mm-hmm. in Ice Palace. Some of them were not that easy. Mm-hmm. I had no idea for the longest time what I wanted to do with Eastern, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, you've got Aladdin in Desert Palace. Like, again, mm-hmm. some of them just make sense.
Yeah.
And then I think, I don't remember why, but I think I want to say it was Garrison, maybe. Somebody suggested DuckTales, and I might have lost my ever-loving mind at the idea of walking into Eastern Palace and you just get that bop going. Like, yeah, it's totally such a good song.
It is. It really is. That's so awesome. All right. So back to like actual playing the game. Where did you go after the Mentor tournament?
I want to say after Mentor tournament, we had a couple of like in between tournaments. Like, I want to say there was a co-op tournament that started up not long after, where I teamed with Windfox for that. And we got summarily crushed because we just didn't know what we were doing. So
sure. Yeah.
And then League okay. was the next big one.
Which season of the league did you join? Was it season 3 or?
Oh God. Yes. Please Clap was season 3, I think.
Okay.
Cause so,
it was Please Clap.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
What was your team? What was the Please? I'll look it up. What was your team for it was, Please Clap?
It was Kaysden, Windfox and I for Please Clap.
And that was the, was it pre-Open League or were you guys in the Open League that year?
We were in Open League. So that okay, I think so was it must the have first been season 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to say that was the first season that Open League was a thing.
Yeah. And you guys actually made the playoffs that season.
We did. And then I want to say we got beat by Boomer Friendly. So Dawn Scrub and Leviticus if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So tell me about your first experience with League and how Please Clap formed and also why Please Clap.
Why the name?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So all three of us were, again, in that 2020 mentee group. We mm-hmm. were already like talking a bunch on the side anyway about just the game, and we were doing pickup races together and whatnot, and it kind of just made sense to be like, yo, you know, do the three of us want a team?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what happened. The name itself came from, I want to say, one of Oro's Jackbox nights that they host.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we were doing the like the robot rap battle game. And I want to say Kaysden had been trying to type something and ran out of time. So it autofilled, and the autofill ending was just Please Clap. So
nice.
We all just died. I don't remember the context of why it was so funny, but sure. We all just lost our minds and decided like, all right, that's it. We're taking it. That one's ours.
That's great.
Yeah.
So what was your experience that first season? Did you enjoy the team? Did you enjoy playing the league? What was your thoughts on the league?
I love League. And I think it kind of goes back to what, you know, you had mentioned earlier about how, you know, playing with other people
mm-hmm.
was such a prominent thing for me growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to say like that first league season, I was terrified, first of all, because I felt like I was, and I still feel this way, and Jesse and Kaysden would yell at me for saying this, but I still feel like I'm like the weakest link on our team, rando wise. And I'm okay with that. It's something that I've like dealt with my own things, and I know that, you know, I know where my weaknesses are, I know where my strengths are.
Mm-hmm.
So it was terrifying in a way to play. And I remember that season we were in the same group or the same division as Boomer Friendly. And I want to say it was also Hyrule Track and Field. So that would have been Jetters, Tabby, and Scruff. Yeah. And it came down to, I think for Track and Field and us, it came down to week 7, and we still had, like, it could go either way for either of us because we had split. We had the same exact record going in, and, you know, it could go either way. And so we ended up winning both of our co-op Enemizer races fairly handily, but it still didn't matter, I think, because if I remember right, maybe it wasn't that we were even, but Track and Field was up on us by 1 or something like that. But we had the tiebreaker. I don't even remember. There was something weird about it.
So you guys ended up at 10-4. They finished 8-6. They lost their last two races.
Yes. To Skewed by 6 Cubed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And so you guys won by 2, those last two.
Yeah. I remember it being like a very stressful situation. And if Skewed had not won at least one of their races, I think that we were out of playoffs at that point.
I see. Yeah, you guys were tied going into week 7. Then you guys won both of your races. They lost both their races and got into the playoffs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's where the stress was.
Yeah.
It never feels good to be like fully relying on other people to assure you getting into like the next step forward.
Yeah.
But it was such an exciting time too, because we knew, like, you know, we're brand new to the game and we're making playoffs our first showing. Like, this is huge. Like, let's keep going. Mm-hmm. And then we lost the next round. The next
round. Yeah. Yeah. Boomer Friendly was not an easy out. It looks like you went
0-3. I still get salty about that race against Dawn every now and again, because I totally goofed myself in it. And I know I did.
Yeah, it looks like you lost by just over a minute. Yeah.
I goofed. I was ahead and I forgot how to route Ice Palace for a good moment there. I didn't hit the switch. I hit go mode, pulling bow from, I want to say, Icebreaker Chest, and forgot that I still needed the big key because I hadn't hit the switch.
Wow.
So I kept going, forgetting about it, and then had to mirror because I didn't know how to do the vanilla way and wrapping around. So that was an adventure, to say the least.
Sure. But then you come back season 4 and tell me about your season 4, because I'm looking at the record here on the league website and it's a good one.
Oh boy. Season 4. The good old JKLOL.
Yeah. So you go from Please Clap to JKLOL. Ashamed to admit it literally took me until like 2 weeks ago to find out exactly why JKLOL. Like, JKLOL obviously just makes sense on its own, but there was a deeper meaning to it as well. If you just looked, when Fox goes to Farm Friends, Radical Sniper Jesse comes in and you change the name, obviously, to JKLOL, which was Jesse Kasdan Leoria of Light. Right? Yeah. Like, I literally just figured that out. Felt so dumb.
No, don't feel dumb, because you're not the only person that we've heard that from at all. So sure. It's not as common knowledge as you might think.
Yeah. But tell me about your season 4 experience, because it looks like it was a good one.
Season 4 was such a blast. I feel like we like hardcore breezed through groups for a while. I know that I know that they would yell at me for this, but like, again, knowing my own shortcomings with the game, like, I went into brackets terrified, or playoffs rather, mm-hmm. because I had not won a single solo game up to that point. Any of my wins were because of co-op, every single one. And so I was like, guys, y'all are going to have to continue to carry here. Like, I'm freaking out, man. Mm-hmm. And it ended up working out really well. I think Jesse and I, in a way, still are kind of grumpy at Kaysden for preventing us from ever getting to a game five in any of those races.
Yeah.
Like, we were so ready for co-op retrance. It was going to be so fun.
Oh, and yeah. Yet... None. No co-op retrance for you.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We did feel like with our group, and I almost want to just pull it up here. We did feel like with our group that we pulled like the teams that we were facing against at good times, if that makes sense, like during good weeks to be able to play against them.
So you played Soggy Tea week one, Tipsy Tavern Toasters week two. You start out 4-0, like you can't be disappointed to start 4-0. You go up against Rando Babies. You get the first loss that week, but you're still 5-1.
So sad.
And it looks like it was a close race too. And then you get week four, you get two more wins against Amish Paradise. You get week five, two more wins against Papega Patrol. It's Always Sunny in Pod. Kaysden gets a win. Unfortunately, you get the loss there. Again, it looks like a close one.
No wins in the regular weeks.
And then you finish it off in the co-ops with two more wins. So, I mean, that's an awesome record going into the playoffs.
I know that we were really, really interested to play against Rando Babies, especially because they had just come off of 2021 Mentor Tournament. Mr. Aaron Snerd having been the winner of the tournament. So we knew that that was going to be a tough one. I also had my own little, or I guess me and Jesse both had our own little things with Amish because, you know, Amish is where Jesse was in season three. And as I had mentioned with Dapper, like Dapper and I had that, you know, funny little mentor tournament history. So that week, we were really excited for like the kind of the clash, if you will. And that was pilot spoiler week. So I was racing both no matter what, because, and I say racing, like I piloted. Yes, that's my thing. I don't think the guys would ever let me not pilot.
Do you enjoy piloting?
I love it, dude. I love it. Just what was it, a couple days ago, as of, you know, recording here, they announced the pilot spoiler tourney coming back in a month or two or something like that. And I immediately messaged the guys like, gentlemen.
Start your engines. We're going.
Start your engines. Let's go.
Because I think that was kind of kicked off with the announcement on the podcast here that it's not coming back for season five.
Fear. It hurts my soul. It hurts me so much.
I understand.
It hurts me so much.
I get it. But you got a whole tournament of it now, right?
I do. And I want to say because Kaysden and I did it last year and we had a decent showing. We ended up dodging cross keys for pilot spoiler last year. And we had a pretty good showing, finishing within like a couple minutes of Tam and Wurfjig was like the dream. We didn't beat them either time, but finishing that closely was such a good feeling.
I mean, the strong runners. Tam is really good. He's a good pilot. All right. So you finish off only losing with two races in the regular season last year. And then you go on a run. You win the division finals against Rando Babies 4-1 or 3-1.
Yes.
You take out Zettel and Chill, which is Amerith, Oro, and Darity, which is a really good team, 3-1. Yeah. You go to the conference finals against Oops All Foxes, another really strong team, go 3-1 again.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're in the finals. So win or lose, you've kind of made it, right? Because you've now qualified for the Invitational for season 5.
And that was 100% the attitude we had too. Like at that point, it was like, we made our goal. Our goal mm-hmm. the entire time was to make Invitational.
Yeah.
We wanted to play against the quote, quote, big dogs.
Like, sure.
That sounds bad, but I hope it makes sense anyway.
No, it totally makes sense. Yeah, I get it.
Like, we wanted to play against people that were objectively better at the video game than us mm-hmm. because that we all believed like that's how you get better at the game is by playing people better than you
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, learning from it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had made that goal. We were so excited about having made that goal and, you know, getting prepared for finals. We were all just like, you know what? Like we made our goal, but why stop like trying? It's not even trying, but like why? Just stop there. Like, let's go and try to win the thing.
Mm-hmm. You run into a monster of a team though, with bottles on empty.
Yeah, bottles on empty was no joke.
Yeah, Ninjembro, Barnage, and Maniacal. That's not to take anything away from JKLOL for sure. Like you had every opportunity to win that finals, but that's a hell of a run. And now we're heading into season 5 in just a couple of months here. They're about to do the announcement, I think, next week.
Yes.
How are you feeling about the Invitational? Is JKLOL, can we officially say, is going to be in the Invitational this year? Or are you guys coming back?
I mean, unless something changes in the next couple weeks that I'm not aware of, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Like, we've already, we're looking to change up our logo. Jesse has a buddy who has done the artwork for his stream that he is reaching out to. You know, shout outs to Lord Alucard.
Nice.
He is going to, like, we basically said, like, we don't know what we want. Here's our team name. Have fun.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. So do you have goals going into season 5?
No relegating, please.
No relegating. Okay.
I mean, that's really, truly, we just want to have a good showing. We mm-hmm. don't want to have gotten this far and, like, you know, crap our pants over it, like,
yeah,
for lack of a better descriptor at this point. Like, we want to show that, you know, we deserve to have gotten here, that all of the practice and hard work that we were doing, you know, it wasn't show. It wasn't just, oh, we had an easy time in Open League or whatever, because mm-hmm. we didn't, but
right.
And
that's the myth, right? That Open League is easy. That's so not true. There's so many good runners.
True.
Yeah.
There are. It's insane to me for somebody to be like, yeah, Open League's, you know, free. Like, no, it isn't.
No, it's not. It's no, not there's so many new runners coming in that are really good.
Yes.
There's people that weren't on invitational teams that are just kind of in the open that, you know, the right circumstances would probably be an invitational, but there's only so many spots in the invitational. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And the community is just good.
It's exploding.
It's totally exploded.
It's exploding, not just in number, like not just in quantity, but quality too.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have so many good runners and it's amazing, but it's also terrifying.
Mm-hmm. It's hard because it makes the game even harder. It really does. Yes. I've been around a little bit longer and it's like, gosh, why am I losing to all these new people? Well, it turns out they're really good. Yeah, it turns out they're really good.
Seriously, I have those moments where I'm like, who even are you? Why am I losing to you? Like,
what? Right.
Totally. I've never heard of you before. Okay, sure, I guess.
Yeah, and they just come and destroy. But it's fun. It makes it makes it a lot of fun. So where what is Rando to you? Are you enjoying your kind of, you talked about getting a little bit burnt out with the mentor tournament that you did last year. Where do you see Rando at right now? Do you enjoy the growth? Are you, I don't know, just kind of tell me your general thoughts about where Rando is.
Yeah, no, I'm back into a much more positive headspace with Rando than I was, you know, just even a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently in two tournaments. I'm in the Kazboots tournament, which I'm not going to be in for very much longer, but still.
Yeah.
And I'm in Cross Keys. I didn't dodge it this year. I really do. I love this game.
Dude. Yeah.
Like I think part of it is, yes, it's a 30-year-old video game. Yes, there's things about the game that are going to be the same, but every single time it's a big puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And I love being able to find the pieces to solve it.
Yeah.
And I don't see that changing anytime soon now. Like, mm-hmm. It's so good to have that positive feeling about the game again. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I love your positivity towards the game. Like, when I watch you play, you seem to be having more fun than anyone should be having fun playing this game. Like, you really do. It feels like, to me, at least from an outsider's perspective, that you just are having so much fun. It's very, like, infectious.
Oh, I try. There's definitely times where, like, I want to pull my own hair out in the game.
Sure.
I'm not afraid to let those moments show.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do. I think in general, I really do try to be a positive person, like, just in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that I'm not without, you know, like, my tough moments, because mm-hmm. everybody has.
Sure,
them.
Totally. Yeah.
But I think too, what is so important is if somebody comes in who has never experienced the game before or experienced, you know, Zelda before,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not like the hugest streamer. I barely stream anymore as it is. In fact, it's a joke with my team that, you know, racing would require me streaming. But
yeah,
I want somebody who, if they were brand new and they randomly saw me streaming one day, I would want them to want to play the game because of the reaction that I give to the game, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of hold that true with teaching music as well. Like, I want my students to have an enjoyment of music because, you know, it can have such an effect on people, and because of the positive experiences with it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about Rando as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're both hand in hand. Sorry, well, really philosophical.
No, totally. It totally shows. It comes across when you're streaming. All right. So we've got a couple of, like, general questions from the Discord that I'm going to ask you as we wrap this up.
Okay.
Mr. Angry Pants wants to know, do you have any pre or post race rituals that you do?
Okay. Pre-race, if I'm streaming the race, I have my intro music is Gangplank Galleon from Super Smash Brothers, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
And it's just like, it's a fun hype me up song.
Uh-huh.
The whole, like, hello thing that is always going to be my little intro. I jokingly, and this is so silly and embarrassing to admit, I jokingly created a, like, prayer to Pendant Helma that I don't actually, like, respond or say, but part of me really wants to just, like, add it in now for the freaking hilarity of it.
Sure.
I will say the one Kazboots race that I won recently against Zelga, like, I kind of, like, in my head thought about it, and part of me is like, maybe I need to be doing that more.
Yeah. Let me ask you, sorry, because you bring up Pendant Pod.
No.
And
oh boy.
Pendant Pod is very synonymous, yeah, with Leoro. How did that come about? Where did that come from?
Oh my God. I don't even remember how it came about, dude.
It's just kind happened. Of been with you it forever. Just yeah.
It's, well, and I really don't know. It definitely was after Mentor Tournament. it was something random where like some race or like a series of races, like it was a pennant pod and I just went to it because like, you know, there was the meme of like pennant pod always has progression. Mm-hmm. All right, mm-hmm. Let's follow the meme. Let's just buy in. And it was working, like it was paying out. So then I decided to create these arbitrary rules for pennant pod. Like pennant pod is always the answer, but it's never Helmasaur. Unless it's green pendant, then the answer is Helmasaur. Like
that's awesome.
It's such a goofy, arbitrary thing.
Sure.
But it's worked in weird ways.
Sure. It's a great thing to manifest and to create and it to be your thing. I love it.
I will say, like, I enjoy whenever like there is some kind of restream happening that I happen to be watching and like I might be lurking or say a random thing. But I love when there is a pendant pod and I get like a weird satisfaction seeing people in chat being like, somebody yep. call Leo.
Yep.
Or
it's
whatever.
Good. Like, it is,
oh
good.
Gosh.
Dr. Earworm asks, when, if ever, did you have the moment where you thought, huh, I'm actually good at this game? And has that feeling lasted?
Like maybe a week ago?
Oh, really? Really?
I mean, I've already said this a couple times. Like, I know my limitations with Rando. I know my strengths, like my routing, I feel like is my strength. My execution is not my strength. And if I would actually just sit down and practice it and get somewhat consistent, maybe it could be better. But imagine practicing. Well, I still don't necessarily really feel like I'm good at the game, but I have good moments with the game. I guess is the best way to say it.
I'll say it. You're good at the game. I'll say it.
Thanks, Fear. Gas me up a little bit. I'll take it.
you are good.
Well, and I think too, you know, I kind of have to remind myself, and the guys have to remind me this probably more than they should. Like, I joke that the two of them absolutely carried me into Invitational. And I stand by that to a degree. Like, I look at, you know, our weeks 1-7 record. And like I said, like our only two losses during that were me. And so, but I also like have to realize like the weeks that were still not exactly easy, we won because they were co-op and because I had some kind of influence with that.
Totally. 100%. And you're totally discounting the fact that co-op is just as important as the solo races. Yeah.
Right. And that is kind of my strength within League. Like, I play well with my team. Like, I play well working with them.
Yeah.
The three of us have a really good rapport with one another. And it's, yeah, I personally may not necessarily have the biggest self-confidence of my own Rando playing ability, but I believe that I am on the track, I guess, if that makes sense.
And if other
people want to disagree with me and say I'm good at the game, I won't say no, but also.
You have also teammates that I know believe in you, right? Like, I know they believe in you. And I mean, you are really good at this game, despite what you say about yourself. I get it. I constantly downplay my strengths in this game. It's hard to like see yourself as good, but I'll say it again. You're good.
During that slump, like, I don't want to get too down, I guess. But like during that slump, like, I straight up told the guys, like, I really, like, I'm just not able to play the game. Like, if I were you guys, like, I might look for another teammate. Like, I want you guys to do well in Invitational. And I feel like anybody, like, there's so many people in 40 Bonks. There's so many people that, you know, we know that are potentially free agents that would absolutely jump at the opportunity to play with you guys. And both of them basically were like, you need to shut up right now. It's not happening. You're not being replaced. Right. Yeah. Like, it's just not happening. And they were so incredibly supportive. And I really do love my team. Like, they are the best teammates I feel like I could have asked for.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I love, I mean, that's why I created the league, right? Like, I love that feeling of working together and playing the game together, because the game is so isolating at times.
Yes.
Co-op takes that away and just makes it so that we're having fun. And it's just, I love the fact that the league is able to bring people together and create real relationships out of that. That's the thing I'm most proud of with the league.
I really, and I know I haven't like necessarily like ever said it to you, because but I really am grateful for you having created the league. Like, it really has, like you said, like the relationships that have been created because of League. I would not have the same relationship with Rando that I do today if I didn't have those relationships as well.
Right.
So, I mean, I attribute that fully to the League.
I think that means so much. It really does. I'm proud of the League, and I'm proud of, I feel like a proud papa in a way, you know, like bringing all these kids together and having a good time. So, all right, we're over the time. I hope you don't mind that. It's not your fault. This keeps happening where I just keep talking to people, and it's like, we could go for like 2 hours. We're going to wrap up with the question I ask everyone, and that's about Tilt. How do you handle Tilt? Oh, what's your approach to Tilt? Do you get really tilted? And what's your advice for me on handling Tilt?
Oh, man. Okay. Yes. Tilt is 100% a thing. It hits in kind of the weirdest ways. For me, it's always something execution based. Like, I die on a boss that I absolutely shouldn't be dying on, with gear I shouldn't be, you know, having any issues with. It's hard to break out of Tilt once you've allowed yourself to get into it. Mm-hmm. One of the best pieces of advice I got was just breathe. Just stop. And like, I will take a second if I'm having a moment, even if it loses me a little time in game, like just stop for a second. And I will literally like close my eyes and like inhale, exhale, just to try and get that shakiness and, well, I mean, yeah, just pure tilt and awful feeling out. And yeah, it doesn't always work. I won't pretend that it's like the perfect cure.
Yeah.
But it is honestly the best advice I think I've been given about Tilt. Just stop and breathe.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that. I'm definitely going to try that.
Yeah. Because the way I see it too is, if the tilt continues, right, you are going to end up losing more time to more tilt mistakes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So if you just stop for a second and get it out in that way, like, ideally you're going to game better after the fact.
Right. Just kind of center yourself a little bit, kind of reset and kind of come back to the middle.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome. Recentered. That's great advice. Like, and I'm going to try to use that in my racing.
Just inhale, exhale.
Yeah, totally. Breathe in, breathe out. Thank you so much for doing this. It was so much fun.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry again that we kept going longer. Oh, no. This was really fun.
That's a great problem to have. Trust me. The listeners are going to love it. I may end up having to extend this podcast to be more than a little over an hour, just because some of the conversations, I don't want them to end. This is another one. I was having such a good time with Leoria and was looking at the clock and realizing, oh man, we're a bit over, but it's almost better just to keep going because we are having such a good time. I don't know. We'll see. Thanks again to Leoria for coming on the show and just bringing her positivity. I'm all about the positivity. I want 216 to be a positive place. I want people to be able to be honest and open about who they are and their struggles and whatnot with this game and with life, but that we can build each other up through it all. And Leoria is someone that can bring positivity to the community, and I love that. So again, thinking about doing that NFL Fantasy League, if you're interested in that, join the Discord, let me know. 216pod.com has a link to the Discord. If you could review this show on Apple Podcasts, that really helps us out. Always looking for 5-star reviews, but I just want people to be honest. And if you're not loving the show, that's fine as well. But reviews help us. So if you could do that on Apple Podcasts, which I think about 30% of you are using to listen to the show, even if you don't use Apple Podcasts, if you could review us there, that would be a big help. Subscribe where you can. Apple Podcasts, obviously, being a big one. We're all over the place, though, so you can subscribe anywhere. Next episode on Monday is going to be with Arier. Not going to lie, I was a little intimidated talking to Ari, not because of his personality, because he is super nice and very upbeat and very generous with his time and knowledge and just a good dude. So it wasn't because of that. It's just because he's so good at this game, and I have so much respect for him and his gameplay and the way he, and because he is so generous with all of it. Like, if I was as good as he was, I might be more of a prick. So maybe it's good that I'm nowhere close to being as good as Ari for my own personal reasons. There's a bit of like respect and reverence I have for Ari. And because I have that for him, because I look up to him, I felt intimidated talking to Ari. So we'll see how that goes next Monday. So make sure, again, you're subscribed. Thank you all for listening. I can't thank you enough for having a blast. 216pod.com. Join the Discord. And we'll see you next week.